3, 2, 1.
Hello, one and all.
Clap.
Oh, hi.
We're doing one.
Okay.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
I'll do another one. Yeah, don't worry about it. Alex is just off his head.
On that note, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Car Culture Podcast. With me, we have our regularly scheduled host. We've got Daniel over here. Daniel, introduce yourself again, just in case people don't know you yet. Don't know
why. Hi, I'm Dan.
Here we go.
I'm a host.
But more importantly, today we have our guest over beside Dan is Adnan, better known as UAE Honda Adnan. Adnan Honda, Honda Adnan. And please.
Mr. Honda.
Mr. Honda, introduce yourself to the people.
Hey, everybody. My name is Adnan Creo. I'm here with the guys hanging out. And yeah.
Just tell us what you do for a living.
Yeah. Why would we care about Mr. Adnan if we don't already know you, mate?
Well,
I think everyone knows who he is again, really.
We have like 5 viewers. We haven't gone live yet, so probably.
Well, first of all, I'm a workshop manager at Apostrophe Auto Workshop. So pretty much as a working trade, I work in the automotive industry. I have a body shop, mechanical detailing, care center for cars. So, yeah, that's my living. And then people know me from other things like the UAE Time Attack and all track day stuff and
lots of motorsport stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, there's quite a bit, yeah.
So if we were to if we were going to compress your car experience, all the stuff you've done into a one-minute intro, give us a quick background. What have you done? What have you built? What have you built with that? What have you done? Yeah, let's start with that if you want.
Yeah. So my first thing that put me out there in the scene was my 08 Accord, which had a K28 swap, first one ever done in the world. It was done here locally. Done at a shop called Lab 57 back in the days.
Proper Honda experts.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I used to work with them for the 24-hour endurance races, so that's how that holds.
I think I can barely remember that, actually.
Yeah.
So, it's like, an going Integra, down and seeing you working for Lab 57 at the 24 hours. Is that where the 24 hours started?
Yeah, that's how we got into it, yeah, because of Lab 57, yeah, which was like now 7, 8 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of a history back then, yeah, with that, yeah. So we used to go religiously every year, mm-hmm. every jam. We used to go there, support them, and be there for, like, literally 2 days dead straight, no sleeping, no nothing. So that's how it all started from there, and that's where I think, you know, the whole racing bug started from, you know, was from 2008 onwards.
Oh, and before I forget, we forgot to introduce the most important person. We have DJ Ahmed on the ones and twos.
Hello, hello.
How about the threes? Are you on the threes as well?
1, 2, 3.
There I actually forgot about that as well.
Yeah, we need to make sure we introduce
him. He might not have too much input here because he drives a Toyota Camry and a, what's the other thing? A Land Cruiser.
Cruiser.
Oh, so he hates Hondas.
So let's carry back. Let's get back on the Honda train. So we've got lots of background with Hondas, right?
Yeah, I mean, it all started actually, the Honda bug started in 96, thanks to two friends of mine. One
here in the UAE?
Yeah, here in the UAE. So I didn't even have a license then. I was still like a teenager back in high school and all that stuff. And I got a bug from that year onwards. So back then what happened was these two brothers, the older brother had a Civic SIR, which was, I mean, you only get it in the GCC regions and somewhere in Malaysia and stuff like that. But
it's EK.
Yeah, it's an EK sedan. Mm. With a sunroof on it with a B16A on it. Yeah. And that thing.
Was that non-VTEC?
I love when sunroofs were like the option to have.
Yeah, they were. Honestly, you had a sunroof, you were a killer.
I'd never buy a 90s or 2000 JDM car with a sunroof.
Yeah, I was about to say, no sunroof. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Because you get all the rust issues and the motors don't work, and finding parts for it is expensive, and the whole headache of it. Ugh.
But it was an option back in the day, right?
People wanted it. Yeah.
Yeah, you were pimping back then if you had
it was almost
sunroof.
Like the Del Sol was the.
Oh yeah, with that electronic trunk, man. Come on, man. Yeah, that was the thing back then, man. That was crazy, man.
So then it was those Hondas then, and we're moving more.
It started from then, and then of course when I managed to get my license in 2004, I picked up an 04 Accord again. So I picked up an 04 Accord. That was manual. It was like one of the first ones which were manual in GCC or whatever. Had that for like 2 years. Then I moved out of the country for like a year or so.
Came to England.
Back. Yeah, I was in England studying over there, aircraft engineering and all that sort of stuff. Then came back and then in 08, picked up the 08 Accord. And then in 2010, that's when we started doing the whole case swap.
So question. So let's get into this topic. Because I think the first interesting topic, something we didn't know until we had a conversation about this, is the story of this case swapped Honda Accord, which is weird. So my first question is...
Why is it weird?
Why... it's not exactly the world's most famous racing platform. So why Honda Accord?
Well, back then when, of course, I actually wanted to get something else. I wanted to get like, you know, EP3 or an SI or whatever.
That all makes sense.
Or an S2000 or whatever. But of course, back then I didn't have money. So my dad was like, I'm going to buy you a car, but it's got to be a brand new car. And that's all you're going to get. And then, of course,
I
showed him the catalog of an S2000. He literally took that catalog and literally told me to.
Did he roll it up and put it somewhere?
He burnt it and told me to put it somewhere where the sun don't shine, kind of a thing. So, yeah, he wouldn't. He's like, yeah, it's a race car, this, that. I want you to drive family car. I'm like, man, like, you know, but I had to deal with what I got. So
dad's buying you a car.
Yeah, and he bought me the car back then.
Alex's first car, sorry, just knocked you off track. What? Maserati?
No, man, it's not for that. What? Maserati?
Oh, so he went from an Alfa Romeo to a Maserati.
Yeah, keeping it Italian.
His dad's brought him two shit cars.
Italian cars. No, the Maserati was great. It just, reliability wasn't great.
Which
we're
one
not
was
here
it?
For me.
Yeah, okay.
We're here for Honda Accord.
I just like to take the
Yeah. This is, by the way, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is some sort of a regular occurrence. So I hope you enjoy that segment of the show called Dan pokes fun at Alex
again.
I can't
wait to see those ones.
There we go. So Honda Accord. Dad bought you. So you had to find a car, right? A car that you could sneak. It could be a secret sports car almost, right? Or you could build into something maybe.
Well, I was only into Honda, so any other manufacturer didn't really entertain me, right? Mm. Like I was like hardcore, you know what, it's Honda or nothing, you know? So the only thing at the opportunity that we had was to get that Accord. Mm. Now, there was a story of getting this Accord from the beginning. So.
And it was a manual, this late one. Okay.
Yeah, so I actually went for the launching of it in late 2007, early 2008.
That'd be a hell of an event, the Honda Accord launch.
Yeah, like, because when I bought the first one, the same guy invited me for the launch of this one. So I went there, and I went to a previous show. I'm asking them, are you getting the Accords and manual? And they were telling me, no, not possible. So then when I went to Sheikh Zayed Road branch, there was an Arab guy there called Mohammed Hassan. Never forget this guy's name.
Legend.
This guy went up to him, and they actually had a banner that was showing manual for this price, whatever it was, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you actually bringing the manuals? And the guy's like, yes. Why would we advertise something if we can't bring it? I'm like, if you're serious, I want to put it down. I want to put a deposit on it right now. He's like, fine, no problem. Put a deposit on it. Hmm. He's like, I think we have one already in stock. Great. So then I told my dad, yeah, we got a car, blah, 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 okay. Whatever. Yeah. And he's like, okay. But then the story was, they didn't have anything in stock, so I had to wait 3 months to get it.
So tell me what car that was. So walk us through this car before you started on it to give us a context of how it started. It was a 2010, you said?
No, 2008 Accord.
2008, yeah. And
it was a base option.
Okay.
Super base option Accord.
Yep.
Came with hubcap sunroof? Wheels. No sunroof. Nothing.
Yeah.
Literally hubcap wheels. Yeah.
16 you know? Hubcaps. Steelies. Yeah, yeah, okay. But 6-speed, 5-speed?
It was a 5-speed.
5-speed. 5-speed in 2008.
Yeah, it was a 5-speed 2008. It was a 2.4, but it was just a regular K24. Mm-hmm. So it only made like 170 horsepower, which was pretty much nothing.
But they're the engines to have now.
Well, not actually that one. It's the ones that you get from Europe.
Yeah. Power, whatever they're called.
In the States or whatever. So I got that, and I just started slowly tweaking it. In between this, I was actually working at a tuning shop back then. I was a workshop manager at a tuning shop. It was actually called Voom.
Voom.
Yeah, VOOM. Voom.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah, exactly. It was very funky and
yeah, it's called Voom.
Yeah, exactly. It was super simple. I remember
you make your car go Voom.
You come, we make Voom Voom. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Oh, was it Voom Voom? Is it the highest spec? So like,
no,
how Voom do you want it?
Single
like
option.
Stage one, stage two, stage three. Voom Voom Voom.
Try saying Voom Voom in Karama. See what you get.
Yeah, exactly.
Voom garage, one of them. Yeah.
I think they got massage cars for us.
You get them all over the place. Well.
So you took delivery of the car after 3 months, took it to Voom and said, make it Voom Voom.
No.
Okay.
Not exactly like that, but yeah. So yeah, when I got it, of course, then, you know, I wanted to start doing stuff to it. So I did like very basic stuff. So I put lowering springs, wheels and tires.
Did you have a plan when you got it? Like when you bought the car, we were like, this is on it. Like, it's silly to say now, but like stage one of what this car will be. Did you have it in mind?
Not really at that time. I just got the car and I was just excited to have it. And then, of course, the bug came in working in the shop. Then I was like, okay, I need to try and do some stuff. So I wanted to get the car handling good. So, of course, the first thing was suspension stuff. Lower it, put some wheels and tires on it, make it look good and all that. Then from there, I got the bug to go on the track. So I used to come in the stock Accord with just springs, wheels and tires. And I used to keep up with the guys who had freaking 996 Porsches and M3s and whatnot.
I've seen some people on the track and what speed they do.
And man, you'd be surprised. You might have a good car, man, but these guys are silly on track. Like, literally outbreaking them, flying around a corner with them in just a basic standard Accord. And these guys could not believe when the cars, when we came back into the pits, you get these guys coming up to me like, "What's in your car, bro?"
That's from Vroom.
Yeah. And I would just stand there like Superman, you know, strike the pose.
Did you have a Vroom sticker?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did have a little.
All right, you know what, Andy, when you put this together, just find a Vroom. Send it to him so we can just put a Vroom sticker. Just so you can see it.
Yeah, I think I have some of you in my face.
There we go.
So. Oh, there you go.
Okay. I'll show you some.
So at that point, it was convinced Dad to buy the car, bought the car, did this stuff to it. What's Dad's opinion as it slowly becomes not a hubcap?
Oh my God, he used to bollock me every time. "You stupid guy, you crazy, what are you doing spending money, blah, blah." Oh my God, I used to get the lectures, bro. And when you have a Daisy father, man, you'll know. So he would always like just, you know, abuse me for anything I used to do. "Why are you putting this? Why are you putting that? You stupid, blah, blah, blah. Don't spend your money, all this crap." But I was like, this is what I love, right? Like, this is my...
You can't help it.
It's my love and passion for it. I mean, you gotta live with it. So eventually he gave up. He's like, "You know what? I'm done."
Did you realize he should have never
exactly,
let you buy
the car? You know, okay. It is what it is. And then I started getting into track seriously with that car. Then I was like, you know what? I drove it on a stock engine for like 2 years to like 2011. Mm-hmm. And then in 2011, the engine just...
How many kilometers?
It did 115,000. And literally...
You killed the Honda. Track.
It didn't actually let go. It was still running, but it was just knocking. It was doing jingle bells. And
because you killed the Honda engine. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but that time, I didn't understand the whole story about baffle sumps and all that sort of stuff.
So you're just tracking it.
No, oil coolers, nine.
Okay, yeah.
So I used to go on track. It was a 20-minute session. Go in, go complete 20-minute, nonstop, don't care. And then come back in, and that was about it.
Here's the fun aside. Have you guys seen that video from... what's it called? Car Throttle, when they took a Honda, ran it without any oil.
They've done that a lot.
It ran for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, full throttle.
Even Carwell did it as well.
Yeah, I think, no, this Carwell. It's Carwell. That's what I'm thinking of. Carwell.
He just sits down the rev like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, I've seen that video. So that was just you on the track.
But it was shocking that it lasted that long. And also the funny thing was I over revved the engine a couple of times while downshifting.
Money shifted.
Heel and toe and... You just see the RPM, like, its rev limit's at 7. Mm. But you see me, like, over-revving it, it's going, like, 8,000 while downshifting and stuff. Yeah. It was crazy. And it took it until that mileage. But then took it back to Honda. I was like, I had a guy there. I was like, "Mate, can you check the car? There's some noise coming." He's like, this was funny. He calls me, he's like, "Boss, big problem." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Bottom end, gone." I was like, "Oh, man." And he's like, "We could have covered
it." You shit your bottom.
Going, yeah, so he was actually trying to do me a favor and trying to get under warranty, but he's like, "The problem is that none." He's like, "Doesn't matter about the mileage." He's like, "You've been a good customer, we got a good history with you, you had 2-3 cars with us, blah blah blah, whatever it was.
But
on the computer shows that you overrev the end." And he's like, "That's red light, can't do anything." So then
you're stuck with a car with no engine.
It was still running. I drove it out of Honda and I drove it all the way to left 7 and I raced somebody on the way to Sharjah, freaking hitting the rev limiter in a tunnel.
So what? So
and it still ran.
Yeah.
So, and I'll never forget when I got it to the shop, the guy was like, "Turn the car off, are you crazy?" He was shouting at me and everything. And he was like, "Yeah, your bottom end is gone." Like, now we got to that part and we're like, okay, what we're going to do? Now, previously I was researching and I found a Japanese Honda Accord URR in Alawiya. By coincidence.
Wait, an actual real URR?
Real URR.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know what this car is, because I think if you play Gran Turismo, you will, but just fill us in, what is a URR? Because that's not your regular Accord.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, you could say it's like a Type R Accord, but they call them the URR.
But they were in Japan.
They were only in Japan.
And they're called the URR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
There you go.
It is, I don't know why they did that, but yeah, they did that. So it was an 04 Honda Accord URR. And we were driving through Alawiya and we just saw this thing. But this was a funny story. So when we saw the car parked at one of these Alawiya used car plants, you know, the right-hand side.
Yeah.
So we saw it over there. And the thing was, it had all Acura badges all over the car. I'm like, Acura only came in the States.
Yeah.
But how is it Ryan driving as, you know, it confused me. So it seemed like the guy who
USDM'd it. Which
exactly.
Is the thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I opened up the door and I looked. I'm like, it's got the Recaros in it. It's got the 9,000 red cluster on it. I'm like, man, this can't be what I think it is. And then when I popped the bonnet, bam, there was. Exactly. Yeah, it was like heaven. Now, when I saw the car, I looked at it. I'm like, man, I got to buy this thing.
Did the guy who owned it or know what it was?
I doubt it.
Do you know what I mean?
That's my question. Oh, that was the best. Oh, this race car, this R Accord, you know, six gear. That's all he kept saying. He didn't know what it was, bro. It was hilarious, man. So he was trying to sell it to me at a stupid price then. He was asking like 27,000. I'm like, you think?
Man, I'd pick one up now for 27,000 like, right now.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed. Yeah, this was what year?
This was in 2011.
Okay, it's not that long ago, but yeah.
This was in 2011.
In car world, it's a massive, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's... So it was in 2011. So now I wanted to pick that up. The guy was asking a lot of money. I told him, whatever it was, let me first check it. And then I was going to go buy it. And we made a kind of a partial agreement. And it came down to like 18,000. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to do it. And then apparently when I was going there to book it, the guy's like, I've already sold it. So the car disappeared. I was like, man. So I was pissed off. So I was sitting
there. That's a unicorn as well. They don't
exactly. And the guy pissed me off or whatever. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. Mm. You know, whatever. Then... the plan was on hold. And actually, this was 2 months before actually finding out the engine went. All right, this story. So then, when the engine got damaged, the guy was actually calling me simultaneously saying the car is still for sale if you're interested. And twice I told him, excuse me, go screw yourself, literally, because he just pissed me off.
Well, hey, that's, you know, keep the language, all right? There's kids watching this show.
Oh, okay.
So like, fuck. Yeah. Be honest. No kid's gonna want to listen to us.
If they're still listening now, we're 20 minutes in. You've earned that swear word.
Ba-ding, that was like the bonus highlight of the show.
You can swear on this stuff.
Demonetized.
Great.
Go on.
So then,
so you had almost beef with this guy, being like, you know what, we had a deal, fell through, but the car is the car, and they don't turn up.
Exactly. Yeah. So then I was like, you know what? Then I spoke to the guys at LAP. I'm like, listen, I found this car. It has this engine gearbox. Blah, can we do it?
What kilometers had that?
Go on. I couldn't remember the mileage, man. But I think it was like 150, 160,000 it had.
Okay, so it had a few.
Yeah, it had a few decent mileage on it. So yeah, when we found this URI and the guy was calling me back about it, it fell into place. Like, my engine was gone and the thing was available. So I told the guy, you know what? Whatever the price you're asking, I'm not going to pay you for that. I'm going to come with a technician, check the car. We went, we checked the car. The guy, the mechanic that was doing the swap for me, he's like, the engine is great. Get the car. So awesome. So then I bought another Pakistani friend of mine. We haggled the guy. Apparently he lived in the same town and everything. You know, he did the whole, you know, buy John, KSA, all this stuff. And he worked his magic. And I picked up the whole thing for 12 grand. Picked it up cash, took it. And
happy days.
Literally... 2 months later, so it was
LSD
gearbox, six-speed, had the...
Six-speed?
Six-speed, yeah. Nice. So the good thing was the car was already manual, so the whole conversion was straightforward. Yeah. But the problem was the wiring of it. So the engine was actually in 3 days later with the gearbox, everything was all in. Even the stock Accord axles fitted, everything was great. But the only problem what took 2 months was the whole wiring of the whole ECU. Because it had two different multiplexes, blah, blah, blah.
And you couldn't piggyback something or anything.
Exactly. So we had to actually piggyback So we ended up piggybacking it. And I'll never forget the first day we managed to get the stock ECU working with it. Rizvi calls me from that. He's like, I got it done. Come drive the car. Man, when I drove that thing, it was incredible. Revving all the way. At that time, it was revving to 8,700.
You were past 8 in 9. Who knows?
Yeah, it revved to 8,700. So... revved to that RPM, I was like, man, this
But you didn't want to keep it as is, you want to drive it like that? Or was it just because of the steering wheel's on the wrong side, it was going to be a headache, take the engine, put it in
Yeah, we couldn't, well, you can't register those cars back then, right, and drive. So I just took literally everything that was in there and put it into mine and then sold the shell and all the stuff to cover the cost and everything with this involvement. And then got a good deal with the whole install and everything as well. So got that all done. And then I ran it and it was incredible.
And what did Tajil think about it? Because...
well, they didn't
because if it's the same manufacturer, it's fine.
They did not even know. They literally just thought I painted my valve cover and that was about it.
K24 and a K20, pretty much similar, right?
Like they look exactly the same. Mm. So the only difference is the height of the engine. That's it. Yeah. And even that, like, you won't even know if you're a real Honda guy, you know? So then I had it like that, got it tuned by some guy. I'm not going to say names. got it tuned by some guy, and he actually leaned it out quite a bit. And
I knocked. Bang.
And I knocked that K20 engine. So I was like, damn. Then I went back to LAP. I was like, man, you know what? Let's rebuild this thing and forge it up. Like, let's bulletproof it. So
internals, everything.
So We had to redo the pistons. We put bigger pistons on it. We did the whole cylinder head package from Brian Crawler. We had to put the head and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Got it done. Got it tuned by Lab themselves. But again, the power wasn't satisfying. So then after that getting done, we had a guy from US that came in. And his name is Alfredo Morales. He's known as Dove Tune. This guy came in from the States, and he tuned the sucker. And man, this thing made 250 wheel horsepower.
Wheel horsepower.
And it was revving all the way to 9,200 RPM, bro, all day, man.
With internals and...
Yeah, the internals were stock, but it was just oversized stock pistons, but the head was fully done. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was still like, you could say, a stockish bottom end.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then after that, Time Attack was out then in 2011. Mm. So that's when I got involved in, you know, competing into that and actually racing it and all that stuff. I put bigger brakes on it. I had an 8-pot caliper brake on a Honda Accord, man. It was funny, man. You would have seen this thing. It was like 350 mil in size, man. It was like...
So it was more of a switch than a pedal.
No, it was actually pretty good, man. It wasn't like a switch or anything. It actually felt very good because the ABS was still working and all that sort of stuff. So it was great.
Okay. How long did that engine last for?
That lasted for the rest of its life.
And what happened to that car?
Oh, so after...
I heard it was parked somewhere under dust.
No.
You told me.
Yeah, so what happened was after, say, 4 years or 5 years of running it, that engine also gave up. And
this kills engines, really.
Yeah, it blew up and it actually threw a rod through the block and it made a nice little freaking...
On track.
And it happened to me at about 180 plus kilometers an hour on a right-hander on the... it was on the... In Dubai Autodrome, you had turn 3 and 4, which is like on the uphill section. So it happened there at 180 kilometers an hour, flat out, fourth gear, all the way through it, and bop, just gave up. So then when it gave up, life kicked in. I couldn't afford to rebuild. I was like, man, I spent too much money on this thing. I couldn't afford it. The car was parked for 2 years or a year and a half. Put the thing back to stock, and I was trying to sell it.
Well, you put it back to stock?
Yeah.
So I
didn't know that.
Yeah, so then I put the thing back to stock.
Do you have a nice coffee table with like a hole in it?
Nah, we just scrapped all the stuff. And whatever was good on it, I sold it off to people, suspension, brakes, whatever. I sold stuff
to... Hawaiian community.
Yeah, and everybody was happy and all that sort of stuff. I helped a few guys build up their K-Series stuff with my stuff, so it...
She got recycled.
Yeah.
That's good.
It went all for good causes and stuff. And even, funny enough, my brakes went on to a Silvia, which you remember Omar?
Oh, yeah, the D2 brakes.
Those were off my Accord.
Fucking hell, they were big.
Yeah, so you can imagine. So he bought that. Coilovers went to
somebody. Where did they end up now? This is a typical story of JDM parts floating around. I'm sure they...
He sold it to somebody else now. I have no idea who he sold it to.
They're on someone else's car.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, they're still holding up strong, man, those brakes, man. Mm. And
what, the calipers and discs?
Yeah, it was a full-on big brake kit from D2.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
I just heard D2 from the Mercedes.
For a brake upgrade, for the money you pay for it, man, it's worth every dirham, honestly.
Let's talk about Time Attack, because the Accord went to Time Attack, right?
Yes.
Did you win a round?
Yeah, I was actually in my class, so I was in the sub 2 liter category, front wheel drive, Super Street / Modified class at that time, because it was Super Street, and then they bumped me up to Modified back then. So
This when Time Attack was called Super Street? Was it called
Super Street? Called Super Lap.
Super Lap, that's it.
Called Super Lap back then, yeah. And that time it was mainly...
there's big boys involved in it, right?
Yeah, so you had the guys, you had Abdullah
from
Extreme, you had Zlako, you had Said Mohairi, you had Sheikh Hashar Maktoum, you had, what's his name? Who's the guy from Pro Drift, the owner?
Al Falassi.
Al Falassi was there.
Yeah.
So all the big boys were out there back then, you know, they were like competing. And we heard about this, and of course I was so into like track racing stuff. I'm like, you know what, I need to get competitive. So I joined the series, and in my category, I was being either first or second. So I was doing pretty decent, but again, the competition in our class was very minimum. There was only two or three of us. So it's like you're competing with like friends, you know. So it didn't really feel that competitive. So I was always looking at different class cars and trying to aim to go as fast as them, if not beat them or whatever, in time. Then, you know, that went on for a couple of years, and the engine was running very strong, and then I did pretty well. And I'll never forget having fun with an E92 M3. The guy's name was Ahmed Gamal.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that story? Yeah. Man.
Oh, wow.
I was 0.9 seconds slower than him in an M3, man, in a freaking Accord.
Like, how long is the...
This was on the North Corkscrew, so it was about, I think, 2.5 kilometer track.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't too big and it wasn't too small. It was just the right size. And man, at Yas Marina, man, when you do the North Corkscrew, if you go through, guys, you would love it. Because they have this nice, nice slow, like, downhill corkscrew section, which that's why they call it the corkscrew. And, man, that circuit was the best for me, honestly. And, yeah, we came out first that day. And we were also, I was surprised because I was also 4 seconds slower than an R35 full bolt-on meth injections, semi-slick, freaking aero-packed.
Probably Godzilla.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I look at those times and I see, I'm like, I'm doing that in an Accord, which had no aero, no freaking roll cage.
Do you have RPF1s on it?
I did have RPF1s on it. Then I broke them through because of an accident. And then I had Evo 10 wheels on it later on, the BBSs. And the good thing was with those, the ball pan was the same. I could get meat on them. I put a 245 square on it.
Mm.
So that's why the car was handling so well, man. And yeah, I miss that, man. Freaking thinking about that car, man. Oof, the history, like that car taught me how to drive on the circuit.
Mm. So let's take that conversation and move into motorsport.
Fast forward to where we are today, right?
Yeah.
Missed the time attack now. You, Sharaf, and is Abdullah still involved?
Abdullah, he's silent. But he's there.
He's there, yeah.
But it's mainly just me and Mahmoud Sharif now.
Yeah.
We're organizing. And plus, you know, we've got the guys from Dubai Autodrome. We got Mr. Damien. Yeah. Dominic, sorry. And then we got the team in Yasmin. I forgot their names as well. And then, of course, we got you guys helping us out.
With coverage, yeah.
Andy, who sat over there, but you'll never see him on camera. And Rohan, who's not here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't actually remember the last time I went to around the time.
Yeah, you haven't been there for a minute, man.
Been for a while,
been there for a minute.
But when, like, if you would, you didn't do any this year, right? Because of COVID.
Yeah, due to COVID, we didn't do anything this year.
I would have come because there was nothing else happening.
And actually, even last year, too. We haven't done anything last year.
Has it been 2 years?
Pretty well.
Close. Yeah, because you had, like, one or two rounds and then COVID came, right?
Exactly.
That's mid-season, yeah.
Exactly. So we literally had two rounds last year and then. From then till now, we haven't had the chance to have another event. So, but now the good thing is, don't worry, people. It's being cooked up in the oven as we speak, and we're in contact with the guys at the tracks, and they're trying to organize some dates. So you'll probably see the posts and stuff like that.
And we should be a little bit informative about maybe if people don't know what time attack is, because I think everyone gets scared off by this. You have to have a license.
Yeah, so...
I'd say bullshit, but it's not. It's there for a reason, right? But it's not like you have to pass a driving test.
Nothing at all. If you got
do you have to do a medical for it?
No.
No? Okay.
If you got a valid driving license, you can get this license instantly.
Yeah,
and it's all by the ATC guys down in Mumza. You literally just fill in the form, a couple of little basic details. You pay them 315 dirham, and you get the license, and it's that easy. And also, with regards to time attack for registrations, we've got a website. You go to uaetimeattack.com and you can see rules and regulations, everything all simplified in different categories. So you can see where you want to place yourself and all that. And of course, we have a WhatsApp group that we, you know, whoever new wants to join, we add them on. If you have any questions, whatever, we're always, you know, on WhatsApp and we answer instantly. You know, it's a nice community. We're all here to help each other and just have this nice, budgeable, creative, you know,
there's quite an extension of like people that are in it as well, really. Or in there's a lot of passionate people, but there's people with different budget,
exactly,
like experience levels,
exactly. So it doesn't matter, like you could be a pro or you could just be a newbie, it doesn't matter. You know, we welcome everybody and you can join this stuff easily, it's fine.
I do have a question then, kind of like to round off. If we're thinking about post COVID, we're thinking about world getting back to normal, and we have you and we have this conversation around motorsport. What do we think the motorsport scene, from your opinion, what would it look like post-COVID? What do you think the changes might be? Like, how would you see it progressing?
Oh, no, it's going over here as well. Hashim obviously deals with... We can probably cut this bit out. But he works for Dubai Autodrome, so he manages their...
Social.
No wonder it's so crap.
You have to keep it now.
Oh, anyway, let's go back to time attack.
Five minutes.
We were just talking about it. So it is open to everyone, and there is varying levels of...
Skill?
Not skill. It's not even skill. It's more so like budget and...
Yeah, so my whole point, my whole scheme of it, I want to make it pretty much as popular as World Time Attack in Australia, New Zealand.
You know what?
Like
there was
grid
a point.
Grid Life and all that sort of stuff.
Grid Life's a great example. But there was a point, and so like COVID's coming, it's kind of messed a lot of stuff up, right?
Yeah.
But there was a point where it was becoming, you know, it was like pretty high drama, you know, like in terms of competitiveness, right? People were really spending way too much, not I say way too much time and energy, but like taking it really seriously, you know, and from people were talking about it. So not only people that weren't racing or competing in the series, they were talking about it. So it kind of had a community. But
exactly.
That got pulled away 2 years ago when COVID came.
It was
right?
super hype. I mean, last year's season, I mean, everyone was up and ready to go, and they wanted to break some records,
yeah.
you know, last year. But including myself, even like I wanted to go there and take the sub-2-liter front-wheel drive record in every single layout that was available. But again, with my AP, again, another story to tell you, I blew up that engine too, yes.
I just think he blows up engines, so it's nothing yeah, to do.
Like, I killed for you now. You can change your handle on Instagram.
But when you first had this one mapped, I'll never forget, I'm driving down
Shakeside Road,
yeah.
And I shot some flames out.
Exactly. This fucker comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, papa.
Bam, smashes a rev limiter or whatever, and big flames come out the back in front of me. I think it was in the BRZ at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, and I just dropped a gear and just ripped it and then shot a flame out the back, which was pretty funny. Yeah. So back then, pretty much back to the time attack, so pretty much it was super hyped up, and even the way I was trying to make it with, of course, the team that I had and everything,
we were trying to make it more of an event, really.
We wanted to make it a full-on event for everyone.
Like Grid Life.
Family, yeah, exactly. So families and friends and all that. Mm-hmm. We had even car shows out, you know, out to the back. We had the SSR team, the guy called Vish. We had him help us out with that, you know. And, you know, it was pretty awesome, you know. It felt like a festival.
Yeah, that's
what it was. It was like, you know, every month there was a festival at the track. Everybody was there, bring their cars.
The community. The car culture.
Yeah, and just talk about cars, mm-hmm. and that's it. You know, it was brilliant. And we were getting that. We were planning that. We had...
Momentum.
Exactly. We want to do every single event. We wanted to have a car show or like food trucks or something going on, you know, like even get Red Bull maybe to come with their DJ truck or whatever and start, you know, throwing out music and all that. But then, of course, you know...
COVID came.
Bang, stopped that whole...
But at the moment, it's the only... So, I don't know if you... The period in time where the Accord had its issues and you sold it off, I think there's another thing that we used to support quite a lot, autocross, right?
When yeah.
So that was a timed event as well. And Time Attack at the time was happening, but there definitely wasn't the same sort of push behind it. But autocross filled that void, right? Because it was timed, even though it was timed on a stopwatch than manually, but there was a big community based around that. And that grew out into, like, people doing track days. That was a real, like, breeding ground for people. It's like, listen, I just want to test my car. How do I get into it? And then it's like, bang, oh, I need to spend more money now, do this, do that. So, like, Time Attack, I guess now, hopefully, should fill that void because autocross doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
That is correct, yeah. I mean, due to certain issues with the whole timing system. Now, any event that is timed... it has to fall under FIA regulations. So that's where ATC came and said, oh, excuse me. That's why we have to get you guys these novice licenses from ATC. It's an indirect way of them.
So they are affiliated with the FIA then, I guess, or basically the local FIA.
I mean, our event is proved by them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you have transponders, right?
So exactly. So we get the transponders from the racetrack.
Because what's funny with this is it's basically just a fun run, really, just for fun, right?
Time attacks serious.
Yeah, but I mean... people take it seriously, which is what I want to get to, right? Because it's again, this isn't like some kind of international tournament. This is people having fun. But I think once money gets spent and people start taking it seriously, they expect that same kind of not professionalism, but like ability to really run the times and do everything matching
these
their
boys
own
come
effort.
Under, you have a hard time sometimes. Yeah, because I see at the track, right? Like, but whenever you spend money,
yeah.
You kind of like, unfortunately, a lot of people just want to win, right?
Yep.
And if something doesn't go their way...
then they start pointing fingers.
Yeah, I
mean, I'm always the middleman, just trying to keep everybody happy. I mean, at the end of the day, we try our best to make everybody happy as much as we can.
I think most people don't realise, so all they see is, so there is a cost involved in terms of, I want to take my car to Time Attack, right? There's a fixed cost. but people don't realize that you guys, you don't take any of the money, I'm sure.
We make zero dirhams out of this.
Probably the auto drone makes the money.
There you go.
Yes, it is actually the auto drone, yeah.
No, but they've got costs and stuff. Yeah.
So, but it's the tracks that are taking the money, right?
Like exactly. It's mostly what your fee covers is pretty much the track event and the trophies and the stickers and
admin.
It just covers everything to us to for us to run it.
Yeah, and it is like done out of love and just the want to do it, right? The car scene here is everyone's trying to make a buck. And if you're trying to make
money out of the car scene,
right? Everyone's trying to make money.
I don't know anyone. If people think that we make money, I'd love to see where that comes from. They probably think that you pay us.
Show us what you got. I got a swatch on it. I got a swatch as well.
Yeah,
see, that's what money we got.
Honestly, I mean, yeah, if you all listen to this, I mean, honestly, Car Culture team here, they come out straight love. And they really rock it, man. You have to check their website out and see how they make
stories. Can we put a picture of Rohan as well?
Rohan and Andy over here, man. These guys.
Yeah, but genuinely, that is the enthusiasm. That matches the... you know, the love that people have for the scene or for what they're doing.
I just pay the hosting every year. That's it.
And even to understand this whole event as well, we actually made a video on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
About Time Attacks.
That was me and Ahmed, actually, producer Ahmed.
Exactly. So you guys, you could probably pop that link over here or something or whatever and let people see that too. And
This man's in the video as well.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Before we wrap up then, one last, anything you want to add? Anything you want to... touch on just before the end? Anyone who swear, like, you know, you swear out, start some beef? Perfect platforms. You know who you know.
Fuck you,
you
Alex.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
You can offend him because he's got a fucking stupid.
There we
NSX.
Go. How long did that take?
This guy's been promised me to bring his NSX for like 5 years.
You've seen it?
Hang on.
Oh, yeah, the work. Oh, my God, yeah. I've been flat broke for about 5 months with that stupid side skirt, yeah.
No, but at least we did your 86, so that was cool.
And it has indicators now.
Whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Any other questions you guys got?
No, man. Thank you for being a great host, a guest.
But can Alex bring his car, and we take that fucking wing off and trash it? We'll fix his car. We'll make it look good.
No, we just gotta get a better front bump on it so it matches.
There we go. Done. There we go. That's the end of the show. That's where we're gonna stop before Dan goes any further. Thank you very much for listening. Good night, everyone.
He can't afford a better front bumper, and he doesn't even.
I can't afford anything right now. I've still got a swatch on.
Can you just hand money over to other people and let them build the car for you?
I've seen the kind of cars get built here. I'm not sure about that.
Are you slagging off Adnan now?
Not him. Not him. Oh.
How dare you?
Well, what you got? Now you're starting beef. Bring some beef, you'll lose some teeth.
No one likes you anyway, Alex. Fucking hell.
Thank you very much for listening.
We only get you on here because we'll have to pay you.
Yeah. Well, what about you guys? Are you guys planning to run in Time Attack this round if we open up?
I can't make any comments. I've been trying to work on something, but I can't say it in a public forum at all.
Top secret.
What are the classes, by the way? I need to ask you that.
So you got street, super street, modified, and unlimited. These are the four different categories.
Right. So if I bring a rear-wheel drive... 2 liter car, where does that sit?
But is it 2 liter naturally aspirated or turbo?
So let's just go through this. There's a difference between NA and turbo in terms
of yeah, you'd have to, but yeah, right?
Yeah, so in each of them, there's also out of those four categories, we also got a sub 2 liter category by itself, and that also has front wheel drive and rear wheel drive mostly because you
and they compete against each other.
They compete in their own categories.
Okay.
But again, front wheel drive, different category.
But again, also, we have something there, which is that if there's only one guy in rear wheel drive, he would then be bumped. He'll be bumped or joined with the front wheel drive, sub 2 liter category. So, yeah, it kind of makes the competition a bit spicier, but yeah. But if there's two or three same guys in that region, then of course, they'll be in one class by themselves. Cool. And now, actually, recently, last round, we actually had a Tesla on board, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, we saw
so
that.
So we might see some more Teslas out this coming year. So. Yeah.
I've seen that Pikes Peak car, the one that went around Laguna Seca. That's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. There's that guy, what's his name?
The Drifter.
Yeah, the Drifter, yeah. He has the Turn 14 distribution one. Uh-huh. And the model Tengushi, was it Model 3?
Yeah.
Tengushi, or I don't know who the fuck it is.
I know the one that's...
He drives with a freaking spoon and all that.
Yeah.
It's an
electric car.
Tegushi's Type 7.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, so class, I don't know. I'd love to, but I don't want to go down that road quite yet. I generally have been thinking about either purchasing a car that I can enter straight away or building a car for...
I still say, have an FRS.
It was a BRZ or 86?
Yeah, I was about to say, BRZ, have an 86. Yeah. BRZ. Have an 86 category.
That competition, the BRZ,
it's a great car. Honestly.
There are a few guys out there that we have last round killing it. Their timings are ridiculous.
Who's the fella that had the Marwan?
Marwan, yeah, the white one, yeah.
Fuck me. That's actually...
That fucking actually guy him is a legend.
Made me buy a BRZ, actually.
That guy is crazy, man. He is like a few seconds off like guys in like unlimited class.
What is unlimited? Is that the
Evos GT and...
What if you buy a bone stock GT3, where does that fit?
That'll be in a supercar rear-wheel drive category.
Supercar rear-wheel drive.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that'll be in a supercar rear-wheel drive category. Then you have all the other categories as well. There's a few extra categories here and there, which it's all... If you go on our website, it's all there.
Listen, okay. So I'll spend some time on your website later on. Anyway, on that note, we're going to go. Alex has got a shit car. No one cares about it.
Thank you very much. Good night.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.